ועילוי נשמוסי of Shlomo ben Mordechai, and that is a soldier in the IDF that came all the way from Clifton, New Jersey to volunteer to do his best to guard and to fight for Eretz Yisrael, Melchemes Mitzvah, and he was tragically killed by an accident this morning. And שיהיו דברי תורה שאנחנו לומדים לעילוי נשמו של שלמה בן מרדכי רינדנאו. The shir is also dedicated לעילוי נשמו of Mordechai ben Reb Gershon, Hendela bas Reb Gershon, is it Yentela? Yendela bas Rav Arya, and Aaron ben Reb Yosef. Family members of our dear friend for many years, Reb Kurt Rothschild, who I know very well. And the Torah we learned today is dedicated to Ilui Nishmosam. Shenuchu b'sholam al mishkovam. They should all be melitze yosher for their families, and we should only hear b'sodes tovis yeshuas v'nachomois. So this week's parsha is Parshas Pinchas, and we will be discussing the sugya of Kinas Pinchas, and the various different aspects. This story is told at the end of Parshas Balak, and Parshas Pinchas actually starts off with the sechar and the reward that Pinchas has received for his zeal, his vengeance in Kiddush Shem Shemayim. And I once heard a vort in the name of Satmar Rav, of Rabbi Yoilish, who was a kanoi, as you all know. And he said, so why is the story told in Parshas Balak and the reward only in Parshas Pinchas? Before a kanai could expect reward, he has to be thoroughly examined. What his intentions were, what his motives were, and what brought him to pick up that weapon, that roimach, and to hurt another person. So, the Kinas Pinchas and the Schar of Pinchas have a week between them. Good word. Pinchas ben Alosa Heshev Eschamosi Mial b'nei Yisrael b'kanes kenosi b'soichem v'lo chelisi es b'nei Yisrael b'kenosi. So at the beginning of the shiur, we will be discussing some halachic aspects of the story. Ro ma'asa v'nizkar halocha. Halocha l'moshe m'sinai aboy l'aram iskanu en poigim boy. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Pei Beis, that is where this sugi is discussed at great length. Sanhedrin Pei Beis, when Pinchas saw that chilul shem shemayim beferesia, he approached Moshe Rabbeinu, and he asked Moshe Rabbeinu, what do we do? And Moshe was silent, and Pinchas asked, isn't that what you taught us, aboy el aramis, kanu am poigim boy? And Moshe responds, and he says, if you wish, go ahead. Halocha ve'ein moirin came. It is not an obligation. It is not a chiyuv, but it is a mitzvah. But it is a mitzvah, you need to rise to the challenge if you are fitting. And Rashi says in Sanhedrin Pei Beis, when the lotion of the Mishnah is kanuim poigim boy, Rashi says, what is kanuim? Bnei odam haksherim hamekanim kines Hashem. And Rav Moshe and Tshuva, Nigis Moshe says, that is a condition, a precondition. Not everybody is entitled to be a kanai, but b'nei odom makshelim. If it really comes out of the depth of your heart and your feelings and your passion, it is then that you are entitled to be a kanai. So the Gemara says, ilu pirei shzimri v'horgoi pinchas neregolov, because kanua pogamboy is not punishment. It is kanuas. So if Zimri would have been Pireish, and he's no longer actively Mechalal Shem Shemayim, that Pinchas can't hurt him. Has to bring him to Beis Din and let Beis Din deal with it. Ilu nefach Zimri v'horgo lePinchas, potor olav maitam Pinchas roidefu. If Zimri would turn against Pinchas and he would kill Pinchas, Zimri would not be accountable, because Pinchas actually has a din of a roidev, and Zimri is entitled to kill Pinchas to save himself. Does that make sense? Pinchas is a roidef? Well, the halacha is kanu and poigim boy. How could Pinchas be a roidef? And if Pinchas is a roidef, then Moshe Rabbeinu has to kill him. Why Zimri? Everybody has to kill a roidef to save the nirdef. It would be extremely unreasonable and far more than unreasonable, unacceptable, to say that Pinchas has a din of roidef if the halacha of Moshe and Sinai is kanu and poigim boy. So the Rishonim, in Sanhedrin Pei Beis, the Rosh and the Ramah, as well as the Bis Yosef and Siman Tov Chof Hei, they explain Pinchas is a relative roidef, not a full-fledged roidef. Pinchas is a roidef in regard to Zimri, and in regard to Zimri only. Pinchas cannot be a roidef. Pinchas is a kanai, and he is Mekayim Mitzvah. However, it is not an obligation. It is not a chiyuv. Zimri is entitled to salvage his own life by destroying Pinchas, but it is only Zimri. But the lesson of the Gemara is Pinchas roidef hu. However, it is a roidef and only in a very limited scale, legabe Zimri. So in Minchas Osha twice, Mesechet Psochim Siman Gimel and Minchas Osha, once again, Minchas Osha Chumash Moisim Alametes, I wrote about this sugya at great length. And my interpretation was, Shnei Dinim Beroidef. You know, I'm not very fond of Shnei Dinim generally. But it is quite clear to me that there are Shnei Dinim in this broad sugya. One din is the basic concept of Roidef. And that is a Mishnah of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph in Masechet Sanhedrin. But one blot earlier in Masechet Sanhedrin, we learn the din of Abo b'machteres, Nitan lahatziloi benafshe. And the Gemara explains, Abo b'machteres, Nitan lahatziloi benafshe. A ganav, a burglar. Is it a burglar, thief? I don't know. Person that breaks into your house by night. If you're armed, you are entitled to kill him and to destroy him. Why is that? Because if a person breaks into one's house by night, he takes into account that the people living in the house might oppose him, might confront him, and probably he is willing to kill. And therefore, HaTorah Omro, HaBo LaHorgecho, HaShkeim LaHorgo. And I wrote at great length, these are Shnei Dinim. HaBo LaHorgecho, HaShkeim LaHorgo speaks to the person whose life is in jeopardy, whose life is threatened. That is the formulation of the Svora, in the words of Chazal. HaBo LaHorgecho, HaShkeim LaHorgo. A person that threatens your life, you are entitled to destroy his life. But that is not exactly the same din as a roidef acha chavera lehorgoi, shekol echod bebnei yisrael mitzuvim lehorgo. Regarding a full-fledged roidef, it is a lav, loy sachmol veloy sechasa olav. When you see a person running after another person, and it is obvious that he is out to kill, you must destroy his life. It is an obligation to save the nirdef, benafshei shel haroidef. Nowhere do we find by Abu Mechteres that we are mechuyev to kill him. No. We are entitled, but not mechuyev. And the Torah trusts your judgment and your shikul das. If you prefer, lock yourself in the bathroom, or you're powerful and big and you think you could confront them without putting your life in jeopardy, you are entitled to do so. HaBo LaHorgecho HaShkeim LaHorgo is an entitlement. Destroying a roidef is a chiyuv. Ad kedei kach, the posuk says, Lo tachmoil olav. You can show no rachamim because it's one life against the other. And we are mechuyev, we are obligated to save the innocent by destroying the life of the... What's the opposite of innocent?
Guilty.
And that is the basic difference between Abu L'Hargecho and Roidev. And I want to prove this point from two sugyas, both extremely interesting sugyas, and both of Masechet Brachos. So the din of Roidev and the din of Bova Mechteres are both of Masechet Sanhedrin, but both rayas, both sources that I have are from Masechet Brachos. Brachos Nun Cheso Medalef, we learn the din of a Moiser. Everybody talks about Moiser. I think this concept is extremely abused in our time. A Moiser is a person that gives over our brethren to the Gentiles and puts their life in jeopardy. Moiser has a din of roidef, and he could be destroyed. So in our present day, many times in different places in the world, whether it's here or in America, sometimes the authorities, law enforcement, grabs one, usually a lesser figure in a big crime ring and a conspiracy, and pressures him to cooperate. And they say, if you cooperate, we're going to show leniency towards you, but you need to turn in the big ones. So this is a grave moral dilemma. But is it the din of Moiser? Definitely not in its original definition. And Moiser has a din of Eroidev. Because once upon a time in most countries when we lived amongst the Goyim, there was no really rule of law. And when a Jew fell into their hands, his life was in grave danger. Today, if a person doesn't pay income tax, I'm not aware that there's a firing squad anywhere in the civilized world. They don't kill people for monetary violations. And if a person's life isn't in direct jeopardy, that is not the din of Moiser. That doesn't mean that it is justified. We need to deal with every case with its details. But the concept of Moiser was formulated and instituted in a different time in which people's life were in direct danger and unjustified danger. That is what the din of Moiser is all about. But anyway, the Gemara says, and the Gemara tells a story, that a Moiser was killed, and Rashi writes, what is the justification to kill a Moiser? Atoira Omro, Habula Hagu, Ashkam Hagoi, Kedi Alfinan Mahabobe Machteres. Why does Rashi base this aloha on Bobe Machteres and not on the din of Roidev? Roidev is not Bobe Machteres. Bobe Machteres is defying base. Roidev is defying Gimel. So my argument is, a Moiser is not a general roidef. It has more to do with habola hargechu hashkeim lahargoi. Because the general din of roidef is only when the redifa is obvious, it's evident, and it is unquestionable. That is the din of roidef. The din of Moiser, yes, he might be endangering other people's lives. He might, but we can't say that in any definitive way. So what he does is terribly wrong. He might be endangering the life of other people, and therefore it fits into the category of Abu L'Hargech Huashkam L'Hargoi, not into the category of Roidev, and therefore Rashi writes, what was the basis of that ruling? Abu L'Hargech Hu Kidi Yalfinan Ma'abo B'machteres. Samech Beis Omet Beis Mesechet Broches, it's an agadatah. But kulan nitnu meroye echod. And the Gemara explains the story that we find in Sefer Shmuel. As you all know, Shaul was out to destroy David. He was very jealous, lefi pshuton shel mikro, plutim shel devorim, and he was out to destroy David. And David was a fugitive. He was running from Shaul's wrath. And then David confronts Shaul in the cave. And David has the upper hand, and David says, I am entitled to kill you because you are a roidef, but I will not do so. I saw how tsanua you are, and therefore I will salvage your life. Vekora says, knaf me'iloi. He cut off part of Shaul's garment as a symbol, in a symbolic way. But David says, I could kill you. Why? And I ask, if he's a roidef, how could David say, I'm going to let you go? That's a lav. That's too lavin. You cannot show mercy to a roidef. Rashi writes, roidefato, v'toyr amruch abola hargach ashkan hargoy, once again, Boba Machteres, why not Roidev? Roidev is not learned from Boba Machteres. Roidev is something we learn from Nara Hamaroso, Tzakwa Naro Ve'ein Mushiala. It is from there that we learn the din of Roidev. Once again, was Shaul a Roidev? David had the upper hand. Right there in the cave, David was more powerful than Shaul. Maybe the element of surprise gave David the upper hand. Right there and then, Shaul wasn't a roidef. David had the upper hand. And David has the right to hope after this confrontation, maybe Shaul will change his attitude. After Shaul saw that David could kill him, and he doesn't do so, and he shows rachamim, he shows mercy. So David isn't mechuyev to destroy Shaul. He has the right to hope. Maybe after this confrontation, Shaul will change his attitude. And therefore David says, Habola ha'agacho, I'm not mechuyev. But I am entitled, because if somebody threatens your life, you don't have to take any risks. And you are entitled to respond in a way, Habola ha'agacho, ashkim lahargoy. But that is not a chiyuv. That is a schus, it's a privilege, it's not a chiyuv. So from these two sugyas, and primarily from Rashi, we see that Avola Hagecho Hashkem Lahorga is a different din. It is not the same as Roidef. Roidef is a chiyuv. Avola Hagecho is a heter. The din of Roidef is relevant only when the intention and the possibilities are beyond doubt. The 13-year-old boy with a fork or a kitchen knife chases a prize fighter, there is no din of roidef. It is only when it is obvious that he intends to kill and if he has a reasonable ability to kill, it is only then that there is a din of roidef. When there is any doubt in his intention or in his ability or reasonable doubt, the din of roidef is no longer relevant, but the din of Habola Hagecho is. Because the one whose life is threatened does not have to take any risk. And that is the basic nafkamina between these two halachas, as we prove from two different sugyas, interesting enough, both in Mesechet Brachos. So in Sanhedrin Dafayim Beis, when Chazal deal with the sugya of roidef, and the Chazal ask a question, the Gemara asks a question, I am based on it based. What is the din kotna roidef achar ha-godl? But that kotn is powerful. And the godl might be an elderly person. So there is imminent danger that the kotn wants to kill and has the ability to kill. The fact that he's not a bar chiyuv, would that make a difference? And the Gemara says, no, it makes no difference. Because killing a roidef is not a din in oinshin. It is not the Sanhedrin. It is a din in salvation, not a din in punishment. So even though the kotn is not a bar chiyuv, we still should destroy the roidef and save the nirdaf. So the Gemara asks a shaila from the Mishnah in Perek Zayin Menuchas. Hamekasha leile itchoitchen es avrad evorim evorim yotzo roishoi einoigem boi. And the Gemara asks, why am Yotze Roisha Yeinogen Boy? That baby, I call him a baby, he's no longer a fetus. Yotze Roisha, he's no longer a Ubar. Why isn't he defined as a Roidev? He is endangering his mother's life. The fact that he's a cotton isn't relevant. So he's a little baby, he's 1 day old, 1 hour old, 1 minute old. But he is putting his mother's life in jeopardy. The Gemara says no. Mishomaya karadfele. A cotton could have a din roidef, but only if there is intent, intention. So a cotton isn't a bachiyuva. In many halachas, in many areas in halacha, he isn't a bardas, but he still has intention. And sometimes his intention is obvious. So if he has a big knife and he's running after a person to kill him, he has a din of roidev, regardless of the fact that he's not a bachiyuva. But this baby means no evil. This is natural phenomena. This is min hashamayim, mishamaya koratfele. When the Rambam brings this halacha, the Rambam writes, hamakasha leled, because he's a roidev. Is that why we destroy the fetus? If he's a roidev, why am yotze roishe einogem boy? The Mishnah says, ein doiche nefesh mipnei nefesh. As long as that baby's head is not out, he's a ubar lav nefesh. But the Rambam writes roidev. And I think most of the achroinim get very complicated explaining this Rambam. Some of them maintain that the Rambam is against the Gemara, and the Rambam had some raya from elsewhere in Shas, Shein halochik edivrei Gemara. But once again, if he is a roidev, lamo im yotze roisho yeinoigem boy. Before I give you my opinion in explaining the Rambam, I just want to mention that the Me'iri in Sanhedrin Dafayim Beis has an amazing halacha. Totally irrelevant, in my opinion, but amazing. And the Me'iri writes, Yotze Roisha Yeinogen Boy. Doesn't have a din of roidev. The Gemara says, Mishum Maye Karatva. The same sugi is found in Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi, I think, is similar to the Rambam, but the formulation is a different one. And the Yerushalmi says, we don't know Miro Defet Mi. Who says that the fetus is threatening the mother's life? Well, if she has difficulty in delivering this baby, the baby's life is in jeopardy as well. So who is the victim and who is the roidev? So that's a formulation of the Ushalmi. But I think essentially it's the same Savora. We cannot describe the situation as Radifa. This is natural phenomena and it's Mina Shomayim. The Meiri writes, quoting a Yesh Oimrim, that the mother whose life is in jeopardy, she is entitled to kill that baby. The doctor, no. The nurses, no. No one else, but the mother, yes. And he doesn't explain why. Does that make sense? According to what we just discussed. Regarding the mother, we don't really need a full-fledged halacha of roidev. It is habola harga cho hashkem laharga. So even though to give the din of roidev, we need clear intent, there is no intent here. But after all, the mother's life is in jeopardy because of this baby. So even if there is no din of roidev, there is the din of abola harga cho hashkem laharga. That is an opinion brought nowhere else besides the Miri. And probably it's not halachic ruling. But it needs to be explained. And I think that would be the explanation. By halachic definition, no. Even the din of abola harga cho was not relevant. Because that baby has no intention and no ability to do different. It is not only a lack of evil intent. It doesn't depend on him. He's not doing anything. He is just part of this tragic natural development, and therefore there is no din of roidev, neither is there a din of abu l'harga hu hashkem l'harga. But there's no other way in explaining this opinion, only based on the differentiation between these two halachas. And even though there is no din of roidev mamish, there still might be a din of abola harga cho hashkem laharga. And why do I say this halacha is irrelevant? Which Yiddish mama would destroy a baby to save herself? so many Jewish mothers gave away their life for their children. It is in our time, in the time of our parents in the Holocaust, how many parents gave away their lives trying to save their children. So, wie trefft man a Yiddish Mame who would destroy her baby to serve herself? So let's get back to the Rambam. The Rambam writes, what is the justification to destroy the fetus? The ubar to save the mother because he's a roidev. But the Gemara says he's not a roidev. Mishamaya karat falei. And if he is a roidev, lamam yotza roishe ein oigen boy. And I say, shnei dinim beroidev. Once again, in the same shiur, twice, shnei dinim. Shnei dinim beroidev. When the halacha says, it is in two different levels that we find this as a chiddush. One level is killing a person with clear intention is justified. This is murder. We destroy a person, and the Torah says yes. My chos is the dome de day sumak. Dilme dome de chavrei sumak. That is the halacha. We save the victim by destroying the criminal, the perpetrator. But besides the justification of killing a person, ibid nefoshes, the rights of the perpetrator are put aside for the rights of the victim whose life is in danger. So there's a Gemara in Bava Kama Kuf Yud Zayin, a very interesting sugya. There was a boat, a ferry, carrying people and goods from one side of the river to the other. And people put their merchandise on that boat. One person put a mule on that boat. And in the middle of the way, from one side of the river to the other, that mule became berserk. And it's starting jumping around, and the boat might go under. So the Gemara says, we grab that mule, throw him into the river. Why is that? Because he has a din of a roidev. He is threatening all the rest of the merchandise. No one's life is in danger. They are professional oarsmen and sailors. Their life isn't in danger. They have a life vest, they have a lifeboat. But the question is monetary loss. And the Gemara says that mule is thrown overboard to salvage the merchandise of all the others. Why is that? Why don't we throw some other things overboard? Why does he have to pay the price, the owner of that mule? Because he's a roidev. That's what the Gemara says. And if it's not a mule, the last to put his merchandise on the boat, if the question is weight, too heavy, though the last container that was put on the boat is the first to go overboard. And that is based on the din of roidev. So there's no question of ibid nefoshes. There's no question of destroying one's life. But we still need the din of roidev. If not the din of roidev, maybe we would say, pay up. The one that wants to save his merchandise, pay for it. I don't know what we do. We would take a piece of every bag and throw it into the ocean. So the din of roidev is twofold. It is not only permitting destroying life, the life of the perpetrator, the life of the guilty to save the life of the innocent. It is only about the rights of parties. So the rights of all the other people that have merchandise on that ferry override the right of the owner of that mule because the mule is threatening and he is the sibba. He is the reason all the others are in jeopardy and in monetary danger of monetary loss. So from this Gemara and Bava Kama, which is also a din Rambam and a Choshe Mishpat, we see the other aspect of the din roidev. So the din roidev gives more right to the victimized than to the perpetrator. even when dealing with monetary rights, and it also justifies destroying a person's life. Shnei dinim. And therefore, my pshat in the Rambam would be, when we need to define eroidef as eroidef to justify killing, destroying a person's life, it is their word that we need intention. But when there is no question of destroying a life, of killing a human being, but rather the rights of parties, whenever one endangers the other, even in an indirect way, in an unintentional way, he has a din of roidef. The one that is the cause to the loss of others, even though there is no bad intention, no bad blood. But if he is the cause that endangers the rights of others, then the rights of others override the rights of the one that is endangering all the others. And that is the second basic principle that we learn from the din of roidef. And therefore, bearing in mind that a fetus is not a nefesh, a uber is not a nefesh, and therefore there is no argument, ma chozes de dome de deso miktvei, dilme dome de deso miktvei. No. This person is a human being. He is a nefesh. A uber is not a nefesh. And therefore, saving a human life would have precedence over saving a fetus. But the fetus has a right. He has a right to survive. Ultimately, he will be a nefesh. And if we could ask him what he wishes, then he definitely would want to be born. And therefore, we still need the principle of roidef to justify destroying a fetus. We do not need intention because we're not destroying human life. A fetus is not a nefesh. But we still need the other aspect of din roidef. Who says that the mother has precedence over the ubar, over the fetus? Why? Why would that be? Because of the din of roidef. And in a way, the fetus, regarding the mother, would be like the mule that is endangering all the other merchandise that's on the boat. So, yotze roishayei noigemboi. He doesn't have a din roidef when we need to define human life against human life. Machos is a dome de deso miktvei. Dil me dome de deso miktvei. Mishumaye keratvei. But if not the other principle of roidef, giving precedence to the rights, even monetary rights or any other rights of the threatened before the one that is threatening them and endangering their rights, we would say Sheval Tais. And that is my interpretation of the Rambam. The fetus is a roidef. He is not a full-fledged roidef to justify killing, destroying human life. Ein doicha nefesh mipnei nefesh, mishumaye karatfa. But when defining whose rights have precedence, we don't need intention. The mule has no bad kavonas. He has no bad intention. And I think that is emes lamito bebiu divri Rambam. So the Rambam doesn't go against Tome de Gemora. That is impossible. And I'm not aware of any other source anywhere in Shas that will override or contradict this Gemara. So that is my understanding of the Rambam.
If on the boat with the mule, the lives of the sailors was at stake, would you need the din of roidef?
I don't think so. Because that goes without saying.
And you don't need the din of roidef for the mother?
Oh. I think we do. Maybe we need the din roidef even in that case. But in that case, we would say, Pikuach nefesh doicha hakol. Here, we're dealing with a fetus that ultimately will be a human being. So maybe we would say Sheval Tasa Odef, because ultimately he would be a human being. And therefore, it is only because he has a din of roidev to put the mother's life before his potential life. Many years ago, I think that was about 38 to 39 years ago, I gave my sefer on Psuchim to Arav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha. I had a very special and unique relationship with him. And then he called me and he told me that he learned this siman and Minchas Osha Masechet Psuchim. I think it's siman Chof Hei. And he told me that he agrees with my Chiddush and my Pshat Narambam, which I was very honored to learn. Coming back to the sugya of Pinchas and Zimri, the Gemara says, Ilu nefach Zimri v'horgo lePinchas, potor olov, because Pinchas has a din of eroidev. And we explained at the beginning of this year, in a very limited way, has a din of eroidev. The din of Habor Lahorgah who asked him Lahorgah would apply, but he definitely doesn't have a din of Roidev regarding others, only regarding Zimri. And many wonder, even if a person is a full-fledged Roidev, Yochol Atzilo B'yechod Mi'everov, Velo Hitziloi Neragolov. You don't shoot to kill if you could shoot to injure. There is no justification to kill. If you could save the threatened by injuring or disabling the perpetrator. Yochol Atzilo B'yechod Mi'everov, V'horgoi Neragolov. And that is a Gemara, various different sources in Shas. Three sources in Mesechet Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Tes, Daf Ayin Gimel. So the big question is, Zimri could simply cut it out. Cut it out, and Pinchas will leave you alone. So what justification would Zimri have to kill Pinchas? So I wrote many years ago in Minchas Osha Psochem Simen Gimel, and then I was made aware after I wrote what I wrote, Reb Shmuel's Shiurim were printed, and the first volume of Minchas Suleima was printed, and Baruch Hashem, I saw that I was mechaven to what Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach on one hand and Reb Shmuel Rezavsky on the other hand wrote. The difference is I retracted, and they did not. So what's the Mishnah Rishayna, and then what's the Mishnah Achroina? So Reb Shlomo Zalman and Reb Shmuel in his own distinctive style both say, what is the din if a person tells another one, do this and that. I want you to fly to America and deliver a package for me, and if you don't do so, I'm going to kill you. Is he mechuyev to fly to America and deliver that package? Could a person impose his will upon others by threatening to kill them? And what options do those others have? Is he entitled to say, I am not flying to America, and if you will try to kill me, I have a gun, I have a weapon, and I want you to know, if you're going to try to hurt me, then take it into account. And if he did so, is he considered a roitzeach? Why did you kill? You could fly to America. But is a person able to impose his will on everyone by threatening to kill them? Or are they entitled to say, no way, we're not avodim, we're not your slaves, and I am a free person to decide what I do and what I do not do, and if you threaten to kill me, you should know, take into account, so obviously they both argue, he's definitely entitled to say so, and therefore Zimri theoretically could tell Pinchas, you have no right to impose upon me to be Purish Minu Aveda. That's between me and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, has nothing to do with you. And if you insist to kill, then Abu Lahorgah Hashkem Lahorgah. So that is their interpretation. And I totally agree that a person cannot impose on others to do whatever he wants them to do by threatening to kill them. And they have the right to say, no, we have no reason to fly to America or to go to the McCulloch and do your shopping. And if you threaten to kill us, then I think it has nothing to do with Zimri and Pinchas. Because Zimri is an Oiver Aveira, and the din of this Aveira is Kanoim Poigim Boy. It is totally unreasonable that Zimri is entitled to keep up with his follies and kill Pinchas because Pinchas has a din of Aroidev. No, has nothing to do with any other artificial situation in which a person wants to impose his will on others by threatening to kill them. Pinchas is not imposing on Zimri his will. That is the din Torah, and that is the din of Aboyel Aramis. And therefore, it is totally unreasonable that Zimri is entitled to keep on with his Aveira and turn to Pinchas and say, you're a Roidef and I'm going to kill you. No, it doesn't make sense at all. And therefore, my pshat, it's not a big chiddush in Lamdas. But Lamdas is not the only formula that Torah has, as I made clear many times. And sometimes the pashtus doesn't have the glance and the shine of Lamdas. And I think the tshuva on this shaila is very, very simple. When we try to imagine the scenario, it is split-second decisions. Zimri is in the middle of doing what he's doing, this outrageous Aveira and Chilal Hashem. And Pinchas is running with a Roimach. Zimri has to decide in a split second, if I'm going to be Purishim and Aveira, will Pinchas realize, could I rely on the tzidkas of Pinchas? He's a kanai. His blood is boiling. Could I rely that he won't kill me? Am I supposed to rely that Pinchas is totally righteous? Maybe Zimri didn't even know Pinchas. Or if he does know him, who says that he will be aware? Who says that he will be able, ki yechem levavoy? After all, in the din of Goyal Adam, we find in the Torah, ki yechem levavoy. And therefore, in the context of Abu Lahorgach Hashkem Lahorgoy, if this would happen and Zimri would kill Pinchas, we can't demand accountability. And we would say, regarding Zimri, Zimri had the right to be chayshish that Pinchas is a roidev. And therefore, the lashon of the Rambam is, ilu nishmat Zimri v'horgoy lePinchas, not nefach, but nishmat. Nishmat means he stopped. He was perish of Noaver. So when the Rambam brings this aloha, perek alaf aloha yud gimel avilchas atzeich, the lashon of the Rambam is, ilu nishmat Zimri v'horgoy lePinchas, and that means Zimri was nishmat, but Pinchas is still running. Pinchas is still coming. And therefore, he has a din of a roidev. But Zimri definitely, if possible, needs to be purish min o'aveira, not only to stop being mechal shem shemayim, but also to save his life and to save the life of Pinchas as well. However, according to the Rambam, im nishmat Zimri, and Pinchas is still after him, it is then that Hargala Pinchas potar olof. So even if we do not accept the formulation of the Rambam in Pashtus HaSugim, I think it is only because Zimri is entitled to be afraid, and Zimri is entitled to doubt whether merely by being Purish Min HaAveira he could save his life, and therefore, ilu nefach v'Hargala Pinchas, that would be my interpretation and my pshat. Because to me, it is extremely unreasonable to say that Zimri, Klape Pinchas has the right to just keep on with his Aveira and kill Pinchas. To me, it doesn't make sense. And it has nothing to do with any other scenario or situation which Reb Shmuel Zalman and Reb Shmuel and I myself describe. Yes, a person cannot impose his wish on others by threatening to kill them. So Reb Chaim Oizer says that the din of roidev is not only when a person is roidev achachaveira lahorgoy in a fashion, in a way, that he has a din of retzeach legabe mises based in. Even if he's a grama, he still would have a din of roidev. based on the same principle as we discussed and mentioned before. Hariges Haroidev is not punishment. It is not Al Yedei Beis Din. It is salvation. It is saving the Nirdev B'Nefesh Haroidev. So even if the Roidev is a Grama and he doesn't bear responsibility as a Roitzeach and Beis Din, he still would have a Din of Roidev. And I think we could prove that from Moisel, from the Din of Moisel. A Moisel is definitely a Grama. There is no Bises Beis Din on a Moisel. If a person was Moisech Haveri to the non-Jewish authorities and he was killed, that is definitely a grama. It is even less than a grama because Adata de Nafshe Yovid, but he still has a din of Roidev. So it's quite obvious. Even if he is a Goyrim b'derach grama, still has a din of Roidev. But how far do we take this? How far does it go? So what is the din if a person was injured and he was struck by a cobra or a venomous snake? And we know the person that has the nasyuv. What is that in English? The antidote to save that person. But he doesn't want to give it. Are we entitled to kill him? Does he have a din of roidev because he is preventing the salvation of a person? He's not a roidev. He didn't bite him. He didn't put his life in danger. But he has the ability to save that person's life. Does he have a din of roidev? And if he is sitting on that suitcase and he's not willing to give it away, is he a roidev? Would we kill him to take that antidote from his possession that he's not willing to give? Well, I saw somebody making this argument, and I think, no, definitely not. He has to be a roidev, whether it's direct or indirect. But it is only if he is the one that is threatening to destroy another person, if he is preventing the salvation of a person, then ein doichen nefesh mipnei nefesh. It's a terrible aveda, lo yisamed al dam reyecho, but he is not a roidev. So what is the din when a goy tells a Jew, I want you to be Machal Shabbos, and if you're not Machal Shabbos, I'm going to kill you. Well, Chil Shabbos is not one of Gimel Aveiros Chamura Shebetoyr. But if it's Beferhesya, Yehereg Val Yavam. So there are 10 people there. And we tell one of the 10, run away. If you go out of the room, then he's Machal Shabbos. Because you 10 guys are standing here, you're putting his life in danger. Because it's Beferhesya, then he has to be, say, kill me, and his life will be destroyed. So do those 10 people have a din of roidev? If it's not for you, his life wouldn't be in danger. If it's not for you, then the psak would be Mechal Shabbos. It is only because you're standing here that he has to give away his life. So for two different reasons, I think that has nothing to do with roidev. Number one, if he will give away a life, that life will not be in vain. After all, he will be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And he will be Mekayim the Mitzvah V'Negdashti B'Toich B'nei Yisrael. Mechitzosan Lefonim M'mechitzosan Shel Malachi Ashoros. That death would not be in vain. Yes, you could prevent it. Just get out of the way. And then the din will be, he should be Mechal Shabbos. But that has nothing to do with roidev. That death will not be in vain. And also, roidev has to be redif. B'derech kroma, direct or indirect. Those 10 people are not roidev. They are not threatening his life. Yes, by dispersing, they might be saving his life, but that has nothing to do with the din of roidev. So therefore, you can't kill one of the 10 to save his life. If we would kill one of the 10, then no longer would be a Sodom Yisrael. Then he could be Mechal Shabbos. But that definitely wouldn't be justified because they don't have a din of roidev. And to me, that is very clear. So today we discuss some interesting concepts regarding the din of Freude v'ache chaveir lahorge nitin latzil benafsho in the context of the story of Pinchas and Zimri, and some related topics which don't necessarily fit into the context of Zimri and Pinchas. So once again, Pinchas ben Alozah ben Aharon HaKohen, Heishev Eschamosim Yal ben Yisrael, V'loich Elisiyas ben Yisrael b'kinosi, and Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Pei Beis. Why does the Pasuk say the Ksav Yuch Yichus, Pinchas ben Alozah ben Aharon HaKohen? Lefi shehoi ha-shvotim ha-vazan ha-isoi, ha-ra'item ben puti zeh shepitem avi imoi ha-golem lo v'dazora, v'horeg nasi shevet b'Yisrael. So what did they say? What is that nonsense? And because people say outrageous, stupid things, the Torah has to be miyachsoy achrei aharon. So what do they mean when they say hareisim ben putizeh shepitam avi imoy agoram lavedazora? Why would that be relevant? Lo yumsu ovois albonim. Why would that be relevant? So my feeling is this. It's not so easy to be a kanai. The beginning of the shir, I quoted Rashi. Kanoim b'nei odom hakshedem hamekanem kines Hashem. And there's an interesting tshuva in Chosh Mishpat Chelek Aleph. Rav Moshe writes his son-in-law, Rav Shizgal, who was a gadol in his own merit, and he passed away at a relatively young age. And Rav Moshe writes him a letter, and he writes, yes, b'nei odom hakshedem hamekanem kines Hashem. The intentions of a kanai have to be pure, and therefore, not everyone is entitled to be a kanai. So the Chidush Haran has an interesting comment in Sanhedrin Pei Beis. The Gemara says, Pinchas asked Moshe, what should I do? Why did he ask? So Chidush Haran writes, he asked, am I ra'ui to be a kanai? He wanted a hechshel. He wasn't confident that he has the right to kill. Am I ra'ui? Am I fitting? And Moshe says, Ein odem ra'ui memcha. Yes, you are fitting. Go ahead. Not everybody is entitled to be a kanai. There's an amazing smack. Bali atoisis. Aroi defacha nara merosa. It is not only a roide facha chaveir lahorgoi. The same thing applies a roide facha nara ma'oroso. Writes the smack, and the Chofetz Chaim quotes him in a few different sources, places. The smack writes, Misha horeg haroide facha nara ma'oroso. Yezoher benafshe ma'oid shelo yover li dechet ze. Ki im yekoshol ba'arayis yekoshol biyodo kilu shofach dam noki. It's amazing. We're not dealing with a kanai. A kanai could or could not. To be or not to be a kanai. We're dealing with Raidev. A Raidev Achanar Amaros, it's a chiyuv to kill him. So this person had no other option. So why do you expect me to be a tzaddik? I did my duty. I was given no other option. So why do we have to be a tzaddik? The smack would say, you did your duty, but you need to do your duty once again. Ve'im yekoshol ba'avoin arayis yechoshev biyodei kilu shofach dam noki. You killed a person. And what was the justification to kill that person? Arayis. So if you're no better than him, yechoshev biyodei kilu shofach dam noki. And that's an amazing chiddush. So, it's not so easy to be a kanai. You have to be fitting to be a kanai, and you have to rise to the challenge. And maybe that is the way to understand the Gemara in Sanhedrin Pei Beis. Kishabo Pinchas laro gezimri bikshu malachei ashores ledochvoi. The angels from above want to push him away. O malachem hakodesh baruch hu anichu lo. Kanai ben kanayu? Meishev Chemo ben Meishev Chemo. What was the question? In Shabbos Daf Yud Beis we learn Malachi Ashores don't know Machshavos Belev Odom. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Boichin Kaloyes Belev. Malachim cannot know. So Malachim didn't know. What are Pinchas' intentions? Maybe he's just an angry person. Maybe he's just an uncontrollable zealot. What are his intentions? Are they pure? Are they l'shem shemayim? Bikshu malach ha'shoos ledochvoy. Omer ha'makodesh baruch hu hanichu lo. Kanai ben kanayu. But he is also a meshev chemo ben meshev chemo. He's not an angry person. He is a person full of compassion and mercy. So many times I explained in discussion on Brochas Daf Chof. Rav Papa asks Abaye, "Maishnu Rishoinim Deslacha Shelo Nisa, and we're not Zoichet Nisim." In the days of Rav Yehuda, they weren't such great lamdim as we are. But Rav Yehuda, Kisholav Chad Misana Osim Mitra. He took off one shoe when there were goyzatanis, and rain came pouring down. Va'anan savchinan v'tzavchinan v'leiz da ashkech ban min hashamayim. We daven and daven and we cry and we plea and to no avail, to no avail. Nobody seems to be listening to our tefillas. And Abaye responds, Rishoinim demasra nafshay wakedushas Hashem esrach eshlo nisa. Anan loy masle nafshay or kedush Hashem, therefore we have no nism. And he gives an example, Ravada Barahava. Ravada Barahava have a causal bishuka. He was once walking in the street and he sees a woman dressed in karbalta. Karbalta is not a beged sanua. He walks over to that lady and he tears the karbalta from her, tears it to shreds. And he was told, "You're out of your mind. She ain't Jewish. What do you want? She's not Jewish." So he turns to that lady and he asks him, "What's your name?" And she says, "Mosan." And he says, "Mosan is like Mosayim. Mosan, Mosan, Dalad Meyazuza Shavi." He takes out $400 and he gives it to her. And that's the story. So I ask, why do Chazal have to tell the entire story? Abaye wants to bring an example of a kanai, of a person that's moisa nafshal kedushas Hashem. In the middle of the street, he tore that beggar to shreds. That lady probably would call the cops. He would be taken to jail. Assault, battery, you know, there are many crimes, you know. But he doesn't care. That's Mesiras Nefesh. That's Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. But why did Chazal need to tell the story? He called her name and then he gave her $400. If we wouldn't learn the story in its entirety, we would wonder, who is this Ada Barahava? Maybe in the morning in shul he fought around with the Gaboim because they didn't give him an aliyah. And yesterday night he yelled at his wife because there was too much noise at home. Maybe he's just an angry individual. So what's so great about about throwing rocks at cars or at buses or burning pachei ashba? You know, there are many kanoim out there. But we need to know, who was this Ravada Barahava? And when he was made aware that he insulted and embarrassed a woman for no obvious reason, she ain't Jewish, he was troubled and disturbed and he was hurt. And he asked her, try to appease her, ask her, "What's your name?" Al tar besicha misho amru chachomim. Im mishto yomru, kal vachoyim habeishas achelem. Im bas yisol, kal vachoyim habenochris. Bishas ayochud, kal vachoyim habishus arabim. It's not the derech of a godel ador to converse with a lady in rishus arabim. But he hurt her feelings without any justification. And he wants to make up for it. He asks, "What's your name?" And she says, "Mosan." And he says, "Mosan is 200. I'll give you 400. I know many people, they would say, no, nelech l'shamay. Say, yachadash, say lo yachadash. Was it a used beged? How much did you pay for it? Where did you buy it? Let's go to the shop. We'll ask him how much it's worth." No, that's not Ravada Barahava. Ravada Barahava hurt her feelings. He wants to compensate right here and now. He's not going to go to Beis Din. He's not going to go to court. He asks her, "What's her name?" He takes out $400 and pays, probably overpaid. But that's what he has to do. And he Yerushalmi Sof Masechet Tanis, Shalu Ravada Barahava, Bameh Herachtu Yomim. And about the Bar Ahava says, Meyom Eloheik Padati B'toich Beisi. How many people could say, Meyom Eloheik Padati B'toich Beisi? Never. I never raised my voice at my children, at my wife. Meyom Eloheik Padati B'toich Beisi. That was Rav Ada Bar Ahava. And when he saw the need to be a Kanai, that is the ultimate Kanai. That is the Pinchas. That is the way to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And therefore, Chazal tell the story in its entirety. We need to appreciate who was Rav Ada Bar Ahava, what was his personality. And he was the Kanai to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And those are the type of people, in their merit, we are Zeichet to Nisim. And that is what Azbaye explains to Rav Papa. So the Shvatim said, Harisim ben Pitu zeh shepitam aviyam ergolam l'avodah zorah. Kas and avodah zorah are related, somewhat related. The Gemara says in Shabbos daf kufei, Hameshabbat kelem b'chamosai, yebeinecho ko'oived avodah zorah. And in Zohar and Bereishis we find, kol ha'koyes kelu oived avodah zorah. I don't really understand why, but it's obvious from Chazal. Kas and avodah zorah have something in common. So the Shvatim said, Pinchas is a Kanai. He's an angry person. His Zayde was Mefatam Agolam L'Avodah Zorah, and he is a Meshabat Kelem B'Chamoson. Probably yesterday he hit his kids. He fights around with the Gabbai and Shul. He screams and yells at his wife. So today he killed a Nosi Shevet B'Yisrael. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no. It's in his genes. You're right. It's in his genes. But the genes of his other Zayde. Not that one. Not Avi Yemosha Pitam Avolam L'Avodah Zorah. Avi Aviv, who was Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen was the paragon of Oirech Ruach, of tolerance, of Ahavas Abrias. Aaron HaKohen, Oyev Shulim, Veroidev Shulim, Oyev Sabrias, Umakav and Atoira. Those are the genes of Pinchas. Lefichach Boa Kosa V'yich Soyachare Aharon. Well, you say it has to do with the Zayda. Definitely does. But not the one you picked. Not the one Shepita Magoram L'Avodah Zorah. The other one. Lefichach Boa Kosa V'yich Soyachre Aharon. Pinchas wasn't merely a Kanoi. He was a Meshav Chemo. Ben Meshav Chemo. And that is what is great about Kinas Pinchas. And that is why in every generation we say Rachmona Itkalan Kinausei de Pinchas Kano. Bedil v'yavor. So we should always be zoche to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. And in the schus of Kiddush Shem Shemayim, we should be zoche to Yeshua Yisrael. Next week, Sunday, I probably will be in America, so we won't have a shir, but there's still a possibility that I'll postpone it for another week. So I will be in touch with our dear friend, No. You're right. There won't be a Shia because I hold the Rabbeinu Tam, so it's only 9 o'clock that I could break the Tzum. So next week there won't be a Shia. Probably this year will be in another 2 weeks. The story with the mule, isn't it?